Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Don and Tanis Edwards. I've talked to Don and Tanis on a few occasions on this program. Actually, I've talked to them many times on previous shows, but on this program, we've talked to them most recently. And Don, as many of you know, is a former National Hockey League goaltender with the Buffalo Sabres, also a Team Canada goaltender, and Tanis is Don's wife. Don's parents were murdered by one George Lovey in Hamilton in 1991. He was convicted of two first-degree homicides and was imprisoned for many years. But he's been allowed out now. He lives, from what we understand, two nights a week in a halfway house and five nights a week in his own apartment. And the parole board seems to be very engaged in attempting to make sure that Mr. Lovey is fully released. And last weekend, Don and Tanis were telling us one of their great concerns is that Mr. Lovey may have the option to move into a city and neighborhood very close to the Edwards family, and they still very much fear George Lovey. And I received a text message from Don and Tanis a couple of nights ago, and they let me know about something that is very disturbing and that took place just a few days ago. Don, Tanis, thanks for coming back. How are you?
Hello, Roy. Thanks for having us back on.
Hi, Roy.
Hi,
Tanis. Thank you again for having us.
Yeah, so what happened with first of all, tell us where you don't want him to be, and then tell us, please, where he was and what happened.
Well, George received, Lovey received permission to travel to Brantford. And as you know, the two towns, two cities now, Hamilton and Brantford, are separated by a common regional road, which is right in our backyard. It's virtually 8 miles down the road from where Tanis was raised in Caledonia. My sisters, as you know, my siblings live in Hamilton. And he was allowed to travel there on February 28th. And some of the conditions of his travel was he was to report by a certain time. He failed to report at that time. And Correction Services Canada put out a warrant for his arrest because he was going to be a problem to society. A threat to society. So Victim Services contacted Tanis. I was working at the time, contacted Tanis, and virtually the family went into a state of panic.
Tanis?
We went into kind of what we do as an emergency plan. All of us have something different, but we know how to contact to make sure that everyone is in the spot that they should be. This is something through Correction Services Canada, and the Victim Services is the one that called me that he was not in the location or at the time that he was. We find out later it's the first time they've ever issued a warrant. And it goes to the RCMP. And he was a risk to society. So they put all gears in motion trying to find him.
And they
did. Ends up that an hour later, he reports in with the parole officer, and the offender's risk remained manageable, and therefore the warrant was withdrawn on the same date. The offender remained supervised in the community on day parole.
So he was in the community where you most don't want him to be, one of the communities where you most don't want him to be, where he creates additional fear and concern with the Edwards family. And the parole board allowed him to go there, correct?
Correct. And the last role on communication that the board met was in September, and his release plan at that point was to stay where he was, and I don't really care. He's in Sudbury. So the board would release him that he was going to stay in Sudbury, and he was going to continue his volunteer work.
Okay. Don, what was your response when you found out that George Lovey had been permitted to go to Brantford, where you, as a family, expressly have said that you don't want him to be because he's too close to the Edwards family and he still causes deep concern in your family? What was your response?
Well, Tanis tried to get a hold of me, Roy, and I was tied up. And unfortunately, I came in the door about half an hour later. She immediately said, we've got a concern. And when she told me, certainly brought, a state of panic. That's my sisters who live right there were in an absolute tizzy and panic, as you might well be aware. But my concern is really simple. If Lovey did finally report where he was supposed to be or talk to his correction services case manager, I'm not sure if he met them in personally or he just talked to them on the phone. But if we recall and we go back to our case, it's well noted and documented that Lovey also lied to the Hamilton Wentworth police when he was stalking Michelle after the sexual assault and unlawful confinement with a weapon. He lied to the police then. And my concern is really simple, is that this caseworker, whoever it was that he was checking in with or talked to him or met with him personally, believed his story. And to us, it's just a situation again. Did they verify his whereabouts? If he was going to be late, why didn't he call Correction Services of Canada and let them know that he was late for whatever reason? But he didn't. And I'm sure he carries a cell phone like most people in today's age. But at the same time, he was late. And when the warrant for his arrest went out, I mean, our entire family was in shock.
And the parole official, the caseworker, the parole officer, whatever you want to call that individual, I'm not sure what their exact title is, this particular individual, but that individual assessed Mr. Lovey as being fit and able and dependable enough that his leave could continue, even though he was AWOL and didn't report in Brantford as he was supposed to, and where you didn't want him to be.
Right.
Correct.
The Correction Services of Canada individual. Yeah. The Correction Services of Canada individual that was responsible for his case management must have been alarmed for him to post a warrant for his arrest. Certainly brought up antennas on all of us that they have serious concerns on this guy and being a threat to society.
Has the board communicated with you since then? Has anybody in a senior position in the parole board communicated with you since Lovey was AWOL and then was arrested and then let go again?
No, Roy. Our son Chad ended up calling Correction Services Canada because he wanted to know what kind of protocol and action plan that they had set in place for something of this nature. And they were the ones that admitted that they did not have a plan. There was no organizational tree or phone or anything because it had never happened. So it was all loosey-goosey. Victim Services Canada asked me to call my son, my husband, and my daughter because they were running out of time.
We need to remind people that when George Lovey was murdering your parents, Don, he shot your mother, and then as he was stabbing your father to death, he was shouting, "How do you like me now?" I know your family. I know quite a few members of your family personally, and I know how deeply, deeply concerning and fearful this situation is. Would you please let me know what happens, what you're going to be hearing from the parole board in the days ahead, and we'll stay in touch with you and keep on this.
Appreciate
Thanks so
that.
Much. Thanks for the time
Thank
today.
You.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Take care, guys. All the best.
If you want to hear more,
Subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.